Series 3 of the Pass podcast is sponsored by the lovely people at Welcome to Leeds. You'll remember them as our headline sponsors from last year, and well, they're back. So we'll be celebrating and meeting some of the fantastic individuals and independent businesses that bloom and flourish in the area of Leeds. Leeds is, of course, my hometown, and I'm so proud to bring you these fantastic individuals. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope you'll join us for the ride. See you soon. Hello, it's Paul Newbegin, and it's time again for the Welcome to Leeds series of the Pass podcast. In this episode, I'm going to meet Holes from North Star Coffee Roasters down on Leeds Docks.
It's changed so much since we've been going anyway. It's just kind of, it's just more like personality, I think, you know, to the city.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I completely agree. It's like to say that when they're actually using spaces like this for good purposes.
Yeah.
So it just fills you with that a bit more confidence.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Normally when you see buildings going up, you think, oh, they'll be putting flats in.
Yeah.
But you kind of know that they are committed to restaurants.
So. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Did you start in Leeds?
Yes. Yeah, we've only ever been based in Leeds, so yeah.
And how long ago was that?
So it's in like 2013 basically. We got going and sort of set up in September. So we kind of identified Leeds really as a real kind of area for opportunity in some ways. We've kind of both I grew up in Harrogate, but my partner Craig was sort of born and bred in Roundhay, and sort of just became clear that there was not really anything going on with sort of freshly roasted coffee and sort of the supply, like a bit more of involvement in the coffee supply chain in Leeds. A lot of coffee shops were buying in from like Italy, you know, often from coffee roasters that had roasted the coffee like 18 months previously, you know, super stale and just generally not as good as it can be, essentially. So yeah, we kind of got going in Leeds with a super small 5 kilo roaster that we sourced from a pensioner in Wales who kept it in a donkey shed. I think he'd done like one batch of coffee and worked out he'd have enough for like the whole year, you know, if he continued on with the 5 kilo roaster. So we sort of took that off his hands and set up in Meanwood when we first got going, and sort of just started with just trying to spread the word really about what we do and dropping samples into businesses that we thought might be interested in what we had to say, and it kind of just grew from there really. We sort of, before we knew it, within like a, you know, a sort of certain radius, we were sort of supplying most bars and cafes and restaurants and stuff within Leeds, and then really our business is growing now nationally. That's sort of what, you know, where we're sort of going over the next few years.
So was it, you obviously started off that wholesale route, but was it always that plan then to have a space like this as well then, like a consumer edge, or did it come naturally?
No, it was never ever the plan to have a retail space. To be honest, we'd had like 3 years of seeing how hard it was, you know, through our customers. We'd sort of witnessed some of the challenges, you know, the many challenges running retail and managing staff and putting a food menu on and all of that kind of thing. So we were very happy to leave our wholesale customers to that and sort of support them in the best way we could as a supplier. One thing that our business has been really reliant on is people having visibility into the coffee supply chain to help justify really what we do and the kind of prices that the coffee that we charge for the roasted coffee, the requirements that we have people to invest in better equipment and staff training, really to sort of enable them to understand why all of those things are necessary. We think it's really important that they actually see the process that goes into producing the finished product, you know, what ends up in your cup. So that was really the idea when this space became available at Leeds Dock, which is right next door to the roastery. It's got sliding doors with a viewpoint into everything that's going on. We just felt it would be a crying shame really to sort of see, I don't know, a Thai restaurant or, you know, whatever else might have been here. We sort of would really see that as a wasted opportunity to kind of advertise everything that we do as from a wholesale perspective. So this space, really, we haven't got grand plans to sort of become the next Starbucks and have one on every street corner. It's really just to advertise the values of our company, help grow the brand, and kind of give people that viewpoint into everything that goes into coffee, really.
Yeah, and it's a, like I was saying to you before we went onto the mics, it's a really beautiful space, and it's always really interesting for me to see what people are going to do. And I said to you before that I actually live on the docks, so when you see, oh, so and so is going to move in, if you haven't heard of them before, but I obviously had heard of you guys before, but if you haven't, it's like, oh, I hope they sort of do it justice. And was it quite nervous then, you know, when you had to almost create that arm of, or that string of your bow?
Definitely. I mean, we were sort of confident because at the end of the day, we're really probably really best placed to do something coffee related because of the links we have with machinery suppliers, with suppliers of crockery, you know, all of those items we supply on a wholesale basis. So we were kind of like, you know, if anyone can do it, surely we can do coffee. But yeah, when we sort of started to tell friends and family and kind of customers about the fact that we were setting up down here, everyone was like, oh my God, you know, you can't go to Leeds Dock. Why would you do that? It's a dead space. It's a ghost town. There's nothing going on down there, and it's going to be a real challenge. And I mean, we sort of took on board what they were saying a little bit, but we'd also been down here with the wholesale side of business and the Coffee Academy for the year previously, so we sort of had a sense of the requirement that the community down here had for a community space, for like a neighbourhood space where, you know, they could grab a quick coffee on the way to work or kind of have somewhere to come even when they've finished work and just want to chill for a bit. So it's completely blown us away, like, from opening, you know, the kind of support that we've had from residents and office workers down here. It's been like absolutely key to getting it off the ground, and we've been way busier than we sort of expected to, which creates its own problems. But it was definitely a nerve-wracking process, you know, because we, in many ways, you know, we're sort of, we had all the eyes of all of our customers and kind of just general industry coffee people in the north really, really watching what we were doing and sort of, you know, seeing if we'd do a good job. And it was something we'd never done before. So, it was a hugely nerve-wracking process trying to bring it all together. But I think it's done all right.
We'll take a pause and introduce you to the podcast. So as a part of these Welcome to Leeds special episodes, I'm meeting with amazing people around Leeds that are doing brilliant things, and I'm here in North Star Coffee with Holes. So you started the business with your partner, you mentioned. What's been sort of, well, apart from maybe opening here, but what's been maybe the highlight of your journey so far?
Well, I think, to be honest, definitely this space has almost been a culmination of the last 4 years. You know, we've kind of, the sort of intensity in which we've been required to sort of work at the pace at which we've had to work at to sort of really try and launch the business and kind of get people to understand what we're all about and what we had to offer was that was a huge requirement of myself and my partner Craig who started the business. But where we're at now is finally kind of at a point where we feel we've created hopefully something that's going to be a real Yorkshire institution. You know, we really really want North Star to kind of become a business that can become a really nice place for people to work and become a great employer and sort of give people an outlet for getting into coffee and kind of expressing, I don't know, their creativity with food. I think that's been the proudest moment so far, is actually being able to open our doors and allow a team to sort of thrive and develop. You know, up until this point, the roastery side of things has run itself on myself, my partner Craig, and one or two other people, really. You know, it's a super small, tight-knit team, and everyone just works incredibly hard to get the orders, you know, roasted, packed, and dispatched, and to sort of provide all the support we do with wholesale customers. But opening the doors of the retail space meant we went from a team of 4 to sort of 15 overnight, and it was a real kind of strange moment because in so many ways we're entrusting our brand and our values into people that you know, haven't been a part of it from the beginning, but in many ways it also felt like a bit of a relief, you know, sort of relinquishing that a little bit and allowing other people to come in and to sort of develop it and take it further and kind of hopefully like guarantee it's it's sort of longevity, you know, for the future. That's sort of something that really excites us, really. So, and I think generally, like with any small independent business, it's just an absolute joy to still be here after 4 years. Like, sort of sane still, yeah, having not had many breakdowns. Yeah, so that's probably the proudest thing of all. Yeah.
What interests me in doing this series is that I'm meeting up with people like yourselves who have, you know, made the business and grown the business from day one. And I wonder, and I ask a lot of people about that sort of light bulb moment or that first time for yourselves that you thought, hang on a minute, there is that gap. Because I'll be really honest, like, I'm new to drinking coffee. I've probably only started drinking coffee in the last year, but that's coincided with places like yours, because it's... I'm good at drinking good stuff, but not very good at drinking bad stuff. So was there that light bulb moment for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, our kind of coffee journey really started in Kenya. We kind of, Craig and myself met at university about 8 years ago, and my final year dissertation was focused on fair trade coffee farming in Kenya. So I kind of really came into coffee from a sustainable development point of view, and sort of looking at it as an opportunity for international communities to develop, really, sort of in terms of social and economic factors. So we kind of ended up in Kenya, really, because we had a desire to go travelling between second and third year at uni. And we spent 3 months there sort of interviewing smallholder coffee farmers in the really kind of world famous coffee growing regions of Kenya, and sort of learning a little bit more about how fair trade had maybe affected their lives for the good or the bad. And at that point, I'd just been an absolute lover of coffee, you know, as a drinker. I'd kind of grown up in Australia for 4 years when I was growing up. I was drinking flat whites when I was 10, you know, so I've kind of been into it for a very long time. Yeah, exactly. But it was really that experience, I think, and sort of understanding how much goes into it before it gets into your cup, and sort of, you know, meeting some of the people that are involved in it, and the kind of incredible, like, connection they have with coffee before it's even, you know, landed in our country. So that we sort of both left that experience, kind of came home, like, wrote our dissertations and graduated from uni, and sort of just couldn't feel a pull really to anything as much as we had done when we were sort of amongst coffee, you know, in Kenya. So plus, you know, we sort of finished uni, like many graduates, sort of couldn't find a job, you know, there were just no jobs, or kind of, well, beyond sort of just filing and photocopying and, you know, unpaid free internships and all the rest of it. So we sort of had a light bulb moment in that we kind of realised what we both sort of wanted to do and what we wanted to work within, and sort of taking the plunge to start our own business. I mean, I think we were 22 when we started North Star, and it was really out of, I don't know, wasn't really courageous, maybe just a bit stupid. But we didn't have any, you know, we didn't have really any responsibility. We were up to our eyes in debt anyway. What, you know, we had nothing to lose, really. So it was kind of, we saw a real gap in the market in Leeds, having viewed really the coffee industry in the UK as a whole. I mean, London had 60 roasteries, I think, at the time that we started. You know, Bristol had 10. There were these sort of pockets of like specialty coffee going on, and nothing really happening in Leeds other than a few sort of well-established, well-loved sort of specialty coffee shops. But the gap between what they were doing and sort of the rest of the hospitality businesses in Leeds was just really huge. It was either outstanding coffee or terrible, you know. So we sort of really started North Star with a mission to try and close that gap and just raise the standard of coffee really across the board, which is how we've ended up working in a variety of sort of quality focused businesses. They might not always be 100% coffee focused, but they really care very deeply about quality, you know, across all, everything that they put out. So that might be an independent quality specialty coffee shop, or a Michelin star restaurant, you know, or a kind of amazing like little pub that has an amazing selection of craft beers and wants a coffee offering to match, you know, the quality of the beer. So you know, we had it was a real slow burner. You know, we were sort of often going out and dropping samples off in businesses that were older than us, you know, that had been going for longer than we've been alive. So we were sort of going in being like, this is going to be the best coffee you've ever tasted. And they're like, really? You know, so it really took a long time. And it was just very raw and organic how it all kind of grew and got off the ground. But yeah, it's sort of from, I think once people, coffee, as we all know, is addictive. It's a, it is a drug that we all get addicted to. But I think particularly good coffee, it's kind of once you've had that first moment, that light bulb moment of tasting the good stuff, it's really hard to go back to, you know, the instant or stale sort of dark, like bitter coffee. You know, once you've realised it's not always something that requires milk and sugar to be added to it to sweeten it up, you know, it's a real kind of light bulb moment, really.
I agree, and again, sipping the coffee that I've got in front of me today, I say like a newcomer, like I can tell the difference. Can you maybe explain to me a little bit? I don't want you to give away your secrets, as the layman, like what are the differences, you know?
There's a few factors. I think the most obvious one is we're buying like the top 3-4% of coffee that's grown in the world in terms of quality. So that's a, it's a huge difference between that what we buy, which is called specialty grade coffee, versus commercial. So the grade of coffee itself is superior, I would say. But then the way that we roast the coffee as well, it's we kind of roast to bring out inherent flavours within the bean rather than to impart flavours on the coffee. So lots of the kind of more traditional, like darker roasted coffee, taste of roast, if that makes sense. You have like a roasty sort of, not burnt flavour, but like a kind of bitterness that comes from the roasting process. Whereas we roast in a way that takes into account the altitude that the coffee was grown at, the soil it was grown in, the process it was went through, you know, to sort of try and coax out what we know lies within the bean. So, you know, we don't offer sort of dark roasted coffee because it kind of happens at, after there's a certain point in the process where you do start to impart flavour onto the bean. And I think that the final stage of that process is brewing. You know, we've got Rob behind the bar that prepared that latte for you, and it's not just a case of, you know, sort of sticking it in a machine and pressing a button and the latte comes out. It's, you know, he kind of weighed the shot. So, like, he weighed the amount of ground coffee going into the machine. He weighed how much came out and in what time it came out in. You know, he's refracted it, using a TDS refractometer to measure the extraction level of the coffee to make sure it kind of has fallen within our parameters and it is sort of on recipe. And yeah, there's all the kind of quality control that we do in the roastery as well. We taste every single batch of coffee that we roast. So there's a lot of, it takes a lot. It
I'm
really, yeah.
And then you go, wow, like that's the process behind it.
Yeah, it is a huge, there's a lot more to coffee than people think. And we run a lot of kind of courses for coffee professionals, but it's just home coffee enthusiasts as well. And I think they leave having their minds blown, you know, about what kind of goes into it.
I'm borderline it, so. Now.
My mind is
on that edge. I remember, you know, again, people talking about this sort of almost like fine food, where again, you know, people want handmade pastries, they want this, they want the top end stuff, and it almost seems to me like coffee was one of those first ones. And do you think it is because of that then? Do you think it is because of your standard supermarket stuff? And, you know, no disrespect to supermarkets that do what they do, but do you think it is because the gap is so big that maybe was one of the reasons why coffee was one of the first ones to get that injection?
Yeah, I think, you know, for so many people, coffee's just like a daily wake-up call, if you think about it. You know, there's no sort of connection with the product for a lot of people. It's this sort of groggily make themselves that first cup of the day that just gets them away. Way you can get them going. So I think it's the second most valued commodity, I think, in the world after oil is coffee. You know, it's produced on such a huge scale and it's accessible to so many people that it is essentially a commodity. And I think, like we've seen with beer and with I don't know, bread, you could argue, you know, those things that are sort of staples, you know, to people's diets. You know, that you have seen this kind of revolution, really, where you've had a innovative business or individual that's sort of said, well, what about if we do it this way, and kind of just always wants better quality and sort of strives for improved quality, really. So I think coffee's definitely followed the trend of the microbrewery revolution, you know, that's sort of taken on the giant breweries and developed this real kind of different way to approaching beer, different flavour profiles. And I think they've all now been bought out by the larger breweries, but you know, there's definitely been a kind of very obvious movement, and the same thing has happened in coffee. And I think you're right. I think the sheer difference between high quality coffee and bad quality coffee is so huge that the taste is in the pudding, if that makes sense. You know, you really do have to just have that one taste to sort of believe it and to understand why coffee should be sort of £5 or £6 for a pack rather than 2 or 3, you know, in the supermarket. So
what about then, so I talk a lot about this conversion, so again you must get a lot of people like myself coming in and saying, oh, I'm quite new to coffee, or I've not tried it before, and I always say to people, like I say it about wine, I say look, if you want to get into something, try it at its like very best, because then you really know. So you must get like a lot of coffee converts.
We do. I mean, it's that's I think probably been the nicest thing about opening a space, is we now have that visibility into the end consumer enjoying our product, and it's been really nice to witness those moments, those light bulb moments with customers in the shop, where they were really took some convincing, maybe at the time of ordering the coffee, because maybe they asked for a vanilla syrup latte or something. Well, we don't kind of offer syrups or things that we don't kind of add anything to coffee, so you know, it's maybe taken it. Yeah, it's that's what we think anyway, but there's definitely a huge proportion of the market that kind of really great goes for that style of coffee, really. So you know, there's a lot of effort that goes on our behalf that has to go into trying to just get people to try it in a way that's approachable, doesn't make them feel stupid, you know, allows them to ask questions, and is inclusionary, really, rather than being too exclusive. I think we've all seen that McDonald's advert that came out like a couple of months ago that really does take the mickey out of places like this, really, where we care a little bit more about what we do. And one thing we've always tried to be with North Star, partly because of who we are as people, really, is be approachable. Like, we understood when we got going there was no market for us to sell into. We really had to grow a market of customers that were happy to pay more for the coffee, to invest in equipment, etc. So the only way we could do that was by sort of throwing our doors open, inviting people into the roastery to see what we were doing, inviting people to come in and have free tastings, giving them a kilo of coffee for them to slip into their hopper, you know, and sort of see what the customer feedback was, and really work hard to convince them. So the difficulty we have occasionally with the coffee that we serve and that we roast here is that it is very different in profile to what you'll find on the high street. You know, some people struggle with the fact you can taste fruit in the coffee, because that seems really foreign. Like, you know, coffee should taste like coffee. But really what kind of guides our buying process is we look for coffees that don't taste like coffee. You know, we look for hints of orange and caramel and jasmine, you know, on some of the more complex coffees. So those flavours really come through, which can be an amazing experience for some people if they've never had it, but it can also be completely isolating to people who...
It's so new.
Exactly, it's so different, such a huge jump. So one way we've tried to get around that is the barista team that we've got in place, and generally the team that we have here all understand our approach of being approachable and friendly and not too hipster, you know, not too kind of... like what's portrayed in the McDonald's advert, but to try and guide people to make the right choice with the coffee, so to sort of take the time to question them about what they tend to like, and then we can make a recommendation based on that. So it's a very like personal bespoke service, I'd say, that people get in here, but it does result in a sort of, like you say, a conversion where you see people sort of having this experience and really like almost emotionally connecting with the coffee that they drink, or even the baked goods that we've got here from Nazareth that are all baked on site. You know, you witness these real moments, you know, that people have where they sort of are shocked at how good it can be.
Yeah. I want to talk about those in a moment, but first what I want to talk about is, so what some of you guys won't realise when I come into these is as a part of this series now, names start coming up, because obviously everybody kind of knows everybody in Leeds, and I did Taylor and Bennett recently, and they knew some of your coffee and some of their chocolate, and I've done Swine That Dines, and they sell your coffee in there. So has Leeds been really important to you, like you said, when you're first going out, getting into some of those better shops?
Yeah.
Where were the first sort of places that you were selling your coffee?
The Swine That Dines, Greedy Pig, you know, that was one of our first customers who I'm really happy to say are still with us, you know, 4 years on, and we kind of...
they're brilliant.
They are, they're ace, and we love Joe and Stew and what they've done with their business, and kind of you see the conversion they've had with their own customers with what they've done with the Swine That Dines. You know, but then they sort of started, we started off with them with house blends. They now offer like a batch brew filter as well, where they kind of work with us to select a single origin sort of filter coffee, really, to sort of have alongside their espresso offering. And you just see really, really nice examples where people's, you know, they buy more coffee. They buy more coffee from us now than they did when they start, because they're selling more, because hopefully it's better, you know, and people are kind of viewing them as a coffee destination a little bit more. So, you know, yeah, people like the Greedy Pig, we've been really, really sort of honoured, I guess, to work alongside lots of other independent producers like Taylor and Bennett, Leeds Bread Co-op. You know, they were neighbours of ours at Meanwood. So we sort of had, well, it was more just trading bread for coffee, actually, with those guys. But, you know, generally, it is like a sort of a bit of a family, really, where they sort of supply lots of the customers that we also supply with coffee. We've put our coffee into beer with Northern Monk and with North Brew Co. You know, so we've had some really, really amazing collaborations with other, like, local Leeds-based businesses, and one of which was Narzette. So we kind of got going with those guys. They started 4 years ago as well, and we were doing the same events and sort of supplying them with coffee for the events that they did with the Madeleine Express, the little Citroën van that they took around supplying delicious baked goods out of. So it really kind of, part of a big sort of motivation for this space was to sort of have a nod to the fact that we've worked with so many interesting people over the last 4 years. We've got a lot of stockists in the general store that are kind of really local, that are kind of doing things in a way that mirrors our own ethos and values with regards to kind of quality and ethics. So that's a really, really huge factor of this space, is to promote and to shout about all the other amazing businesses in Leeds. We've got like an in-house publication as well that sort of has a focus on our wholesale customers. So one thing that we wanted to do with this space is also use it to grow the customer base at our wholesale customers, hopefully by growing the North Star brand and sort of increasing the following that we've got for our coffee. You know, people will then see it in venues across Leeds and hopefully recognise it possibly a bit more from being down here. So yeah.
And all these amazing treats are being made on site and being sold through your coffee shop.
Yeah.
But also it's important to know that behind us we've got all the stuff that people can take away. So people can come in and buy some of your coffee and take it home.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the couple of different, obviously a few different coffee products that you've got behind us, just a couple of highlights?
Yeah. So we've always sold our coffee direct to the customer as retail bags. So we've kind of got a strong following of people that pop in on a Friday, pick whatever's, you know, left from that week's roast to take home for the weekend and stuff. So that's a really, really nice kind of process that we've taken into the coffee shop and sort of really made a big feature. So everything, we have our full sort of range on sale here that we grind fresh for people to take home. But yeah, along with sort of all the kind of brew equipment that you'd expect to see. So we have hand grinders, we've got Chemex brewers, pour over filters, tell me if I'm speaking a foreign language now.
I'm getting there, AeroPress. I'm just looking behind you during the interview. You know, are you trying to maybe inspire people to start it themselves at home and get into this thing like you guys did?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we kind of, coffee's still got a long way to go in the UK in comparison to other nations. We don't drink as much. We're a nation of tea drinkers, which I also love, probably just as much as coffee. But, you know, we sort of view the role that we play as being quite important in growing the industry, sort of particularly in the north of England, but hopefully nationally as well. So the kind of products on display in the coffee shop, they're absolutely available for people to buy, but they're also there to sort of start a conversation. You know, if people like yourself come in and they're kind of looking at it thinking, well, what on earth does that do? You know, it looks like a big syringe or like a bar. You know, hopefully, you know, that we've got people here that will happily sort of take you through what they all do, make recommendations. We've got products that kind of range from like £5, you know, up to sort of 30, which really allow anyone to kind of come in, and regardless of how much money they want to spend or have to spend with us, we've kind of got something on offer that will allow them to sort of get going at home and to really take that first step into quality coffee brewing, really. So yeah, that's a big part of the general store. It's kind of like a gallery of coffee paraphernalia in some ways, but yeah, hopefully you'll get people coming in who've never seen it before and feel inspired to maybe pick up a new hobby, start something new, yeah.
So as we start to sort of wrap up then, so give me a bit of advice then. I'm going to buy some coffee before I leave today. I'm a newbie. What one am I going to buy? What's your recommendation?
I mean, I'd probably, based on what you've had this morning, we've had a single origin Guatemalan that we sourced on a trip in February. I'd probably recommend staying around Latin America, which tend to have a little bit more of a balanced flavour profile, some nice chocolate, kind of nutty notes in there, hints of fruit, but not too fruity like some of the East African coffees that we have. So I'd probably recommend something like our El Salvador Chilazos. Yeah.
I'll let you take that to the till.
I will do.
So, how can people find you on Facebook, websites? What's the best place for people to get in touch, find out what you're doing?
So we've got the website northstarroast.com, which kind of has all of the most up-to-date news with regards to what we've got going on in the academy, the courses that we run, has all of the coffees and the brew paraphernalia that you can buy online as well, direct, and the page on the coffee shop, which will give people a bit more information about the type of food on offer and any events we've got coming up. We've got social media pages on Facebook separately. We've got North Star Coffee Roasters and North Star Coffee Shop, and we've got separate Instagram accounts, North Star Roast, North Star Coffee Shop.
Perfect. And I'll put all the links through the Welcome to Leeds page, as I've done throughout this series, so people can just click direct, and it'll all be on my Twitter at Paul Noob as well, and I follow you guys so I can tweet out about you guys as well. I just want to say thank you so much for your time. I've really, really enjoyed it. Been lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Past Podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe and follow me at Paul Noob on Twitter for updates on the next podcast. If you can, I'd really appreciate a nice review. Just leave a few words and it helps other people find us. The Past Podcast is edited and mixed by Adam Linder from Bespoken Podcasting. Craig Fields from Ambient Light provides technical support. With thanks to Ruby Chow for booking support.